Friday the 10th of July, Yudches Tammuz, Rabbi Dr. David Fox, Parshas Pinchas, Moshe Rabbeinu's plea for a shepherd to guard the flock.
Good morning, and thank you for asking me back again. I darshened here a few years ago on a halachic topic, and when I got the phone call in Los Angeles to speak again, I was delighted to hear that on Erev Shabbos, when the Chabura gets together to learn, it's more focused on the Parsha. And I was asked to say something which the participants can bring home and discuss with families and might have some novelty to it, and also to say something that might lead to some broadening of our hashkafa or deepening of our insight. So, for the first section of my drasha this morning, which is something to say over at home on Shabbos, and perhaps to provoke some discussion with the Tish on Shabbos, I'll tell you over a Medrash Pliya, which someone brought to me a few weeks ago. One of the Avreichim who comes to some of my shiurim, speak up. Sure. One of the Avreichim who comes to some of my shiurim asked me if I'd seen a particular medrash. And he told it over to me, and I told him I'd never heard of it. And I was surprised at the medrash because it seemed to go against so many different yesodos that we are familiar with. And I'll tell you over the medrash. This medrash is brought down in the Rav Poalim that's written by a son, Rabbeinu Avram ben Begra. He was the Vilna Gaon's son. So he has a sefer, and he cites in there the following medrash. Now this medrash is not found anyplace else. No one else is maramas to it other than the Megala Amukos. And he seems to be the exclusive source for this medrash. And I've looked high and low and not been able to find it. But I'll first tell it over to you, and then we'll try to see if we can forenfer it, if we can understand it. So the Medrash says that Yoshua ben Nun was referred to as Rosh Kiteya, as the one with the cut-off head, because his father Nun lived in Yerushalayim and was executed. He had his head cut off. Medrash goes on with some other details, but this is the surprising Medrash Pliya that's brought down by the Rav Poalim. So this Avreich asked me if I had heard of it and what I thought about it, and I said immediately that it's very difficult to understand the Medrash. Firstly, the Gemara in Sota on Lamed He, we all know, says that Yoshua was called Rosh Kiteya, but the Meforshim Rashi and others say that it's because of a different reason. It's because Moshe Rabbeinu added a Yud, which is the smallest of the letters, to the beginning of his name, Hosea. Pasuk says this. And as a result, he was teased by some of the other people. He was called the person whose beginning, his Resh, the beginning of his name, is a very small letter. So this is what the Bavli says. The Medrash doesn't say anything about his father having had been decapitated. I said, secondly, the difficulty with this Medrash is that what does it mean that Nun was in Yerushalayim? We know that the Yidden didn't get back to Eretz Yisrael, Arba Me'a Shana, for hundreds of years during the Shibud in Mitzrayim. And in fact, no one who ever lived in Mitzrayim was ever able to leave the country. So we know this also. Secondly, the Gemara darshans that the name Yehoshua ben Nun, that the Chiddush of ben Nun was that he had no sons of his own. But to say that he had no father, that he lost his father because his father was executed in Yerushalayim, is a very big Chiddush. So I said that I was very shocked at the Medrash. It just didn't fit in chronologically, and it didn't fit in with our Masorah either. But then I began to think about it. What did I think? So if you take a look in Tehillim Ayin Ches. So we have David HaMelech recounting the sequence of events that led up to and followed Yitzias Mitzrayim. And one of the Pesukim says, B'nei Ephraim, Romei Keshes, Hapchu B'yom Krav. it says that B'nai Ephraim, the descendants of Ephraim, or some of them at least, that they went out and they were slaughtered in the Midbar. So Rashi and Beshalach, in the Shira, Rashi and Beshalach actually hints at this when in Oz Yashir, when we're speaking about the impact of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf on all the Umos HaOlam, so there are a number of designated Umos and their reaction. And on the Pasuk, Chil Achaz Yoshe Palashes, that the Plishtim, they were terrified, they were grabbed with terror. Chil Achaz Yoshe Palashes, so Rashi says that what was the terror of the Plishtim? What was their fear? So their fear was, and he quotes it to the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Sadi Beis, that it turns out the B'nai Ephraim had a different system of reckoning when the Kates was going to be to the Sheepwood, and it actually went out early from Mitzrayim, and the Plishtim murdered them in the desert. And this is what Rashi is speaking about when he speaks about B'nai Ephraim, Hapchu B'yom Karav. So this is the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and this is Shitas Rashi, that in the desert, prematurely, B'nai Ephraim went out of Mitzrayim, and that's where they met their end. Now, it's very interesting that when we try to figure out who the B'nai Plishtim were, who were the Yoshvei Palashas? So Pashtas, Yoshvei Palashas, are not people who are living in Mitzrayim, and they're not people who are living in Midbar Sinai either. But Palashas are the people that, unfortunately, we now refer to today as the Palestinians, but these are the people who live somewhere in the area that we call Eretz Israel today. What's very interesting is that if you look in Divrei Hayomim Aleph, Kapitel Zion, so the Pasuk, the Psukim tell us that B'nai Ephraim were killed by the Yoshvei Gas. Now, we don't know exactly when this took place. The Pasuk doesn't give us a chronological framework for understanding when this happens. But it says something about the B'nai Ephraim, at some point or another, they were murdered by the Yoshvei Gas, by the dwellers of Gas. Now, what's interesting, it says that their father, Ephraim, mourned for them. So, what some of the Rishonim pick up from the fact that Ephraim was mourning for B'nai Ephraim, that apparently, by Stachos, that Ephraim must have still been alive. So, in other words, this Pasuk in Divrei Hayomim is not talking about a much later event in history, but this is talking about a very early event in history. That somehow Ephraim is alive, and he's aware that his sons have run out and they've somehow made it to Eretz Yisrael, and we would place this point chronologically about the time of Galus Mitzrayim. Now, what's very interesting is that if you look in the Rishonim, if you look in the Pirush of the Radak, and the Pirush of the Ralbag, and the Divrei Hayomim, so they bring a Medrash, which is hard to locate, but the Medrash says that who were these B'nai Ephraim who were massacred by the B'nai Gas? So he says there was a band of people from Shevet Ephraim who lived in Egypt, and it says they were Muchutzavim. This is the Lashon the Medrash used, that they had great audacity because they went contrary to the other Shvatim who said at the time the Kates had not yet reached, and it was not yet the era to attempt an exodus from Mitzrayim, and they went out early, and they made it up to Eretz Yisrael. This is what the Medrash says. And it says that their leader's name was Yagnon. There was a person named Yagnon who brought them up. We have no other remnants to him any place in Shas or Midrashim. But someone named Yagnon was the person who led this rebellion, and they made it all the way up. Some of them died in the Midbar, but some of them made it to Gas, which, by the way, is the region where Yerushalayim is. What's interesting is if you look at the Yalkut Shimoni, the Yalkut Shimoni has a different girsa. The Yalkut Shimoni says that his name was not Yagnon, but his name was Nun. So now, what turns out is we've been able to friend for the Medrash brought down by the Rav Po'alim. Namely, that Hagam, that Yehoshua was in Mitzrayim, but Yehoshua was Mibnei Ephraim. And we now have a source, if we follow the trail through the various Midrashim and the Pesukim, from Chil Achaz Yoshe Balashas, which puts Bnei Ephraim leaving Mitzrayim early. We have the Pesuk in Tehillim, which says that they died in the Midbar. But we have the Pesuk in Divrei HaYamim saying that some of them actually escaped all the way to the Yerushalayim region of Eretz Yisrael, which is the Gath, that general area. And it turns out that their leader was, according to Yalkut Shimoni, was Nun. So when the Pasuk says that the Pelishtim went and they massacred them, so apparently Nun was among the people who was killed. So now we have at least a tefisa in understanding this Medrash Pliya brought down by the son of the Gra, namely that Yehoshua ben Nun lost his father. Not only did he not have sons, but he also lost his father, who was in fact murdered in Yerushalayim. So that was just something a little bit innovative, and you can think it over. I've shown this medrash to my esteemed brother-in-law, Rabbi Simon. He says he can't ferent for it either, so until I hear a better teretz, I'll be eager to hear if you have any input, but I'll stay with that one for now. Now that we've talked about Yehoshua, I want to darshan in the remaining half of our time about the bakosha of Moshe Rabbeinu for a manhig to replace him. Now, we have a very detailed bakosha in the parsha, which we'll read in Mitzvah Shem tomorrow. And one of the things that Moshe Rabbeinu is mavakish from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that this manig, he'll go before them and he'll bring them out and he'll come in with them, which we have to understand what that means, lamaisa. But this manig is an essential to Klal Yisrael in order that the nation not be katzon asher ein lahem roah, that they not be like a flock of sheep that is shepherdless. Now, what interested me about this pasuk, about the Lashon, is firstly, we are very, very accustomed nowadays to using that image of Klal Yisrael as sown, as sheep. It shows up in many, many nuschos of tefillah. We say it in the longer tachnun on Monday and Thursday. We speak about being like sheep, and yet it seems that this is the very first and the only time in all of Chumash where the expression shows up. So it's important to try understanding what is Moshe Rabbeinu, what is his machshava as understood by the Midrashim in making this analogy to sheep, Klal Yisrael as sheep, and the hakpada, that they not be like sheep that don't have a roah. It's also very important to understand that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol responds to Moshe Rabbeinu, he addresses the importance of having someone to escort the nation and to bring them in and to bring them out. And he talks about how it's going to be Yehoshua who serves this tafkid, who serves this essential function. But at no point does HaKadosh Baruch Hu respond with regard to the concern, the hakpada of not being sown, asher ein lahem roah. So Moshe Rabbeinu, he takes this expression, this analogy, which is unprecedented any place else in Chumash, he takes this analogy to being not being a shepherdless flock of sheep, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't respond to that. So I thought it would be important to understand what is the scope of the expression, and what do the Midrashim tell us about the omission of a reply to this particular Nakuda. So it's very interesting that the Midrashim say that when Shlomo HaMelech tells us in Shir HaShirim that Im lo seid lach hayofa b'nashim tzei lach ikve hatzon, that this was a remez to this bakosha. So the Medrash says, the Sifri Zuta says, that when Shlomo HaMelech tells us, if you, fairest among women, don't know your direction, follow the Ikve Hatzon, follow the footsteps of the sheep. So the Medrash says that the Hayofa Benoshim is referring to Moshe Rabbeinu, that the Nevi'im are called Nashim, because just like women attend to the Tzorchei Habayis, they attend to the needs of their household, so the Nevi'im are never willing to refrain from making sure that the Tzorchim of Klal Yisrael are attended to. I tend to move around when I speak. I often forget there's a microphone. It's just as well. They'll listen more carefully when they hear the tape. But the Nevi'im are referred to as women, as Nashim, and Moshe Rabbeinu is considered the Yofa B'Nashim because he makes this bakasha, because he says it's essential that Klal Yisrael not be without a shepherd. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to the Medrash, omits responding to this because it was not L'tzorach HaDoros, meaning Klal Yisrael doesn't need to study this Nakuda in Chumash, but the Manhig needs to know this Nakuda. Se'ilach be'ikfi hatzon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Megala to Moshe Rabbeinu, that every generation is going to have its Roeh, every generation is going to have its shepherd, but its shepherd is going to take on a different role than Moshe Rabbeinu took. Moshe Rabbeinu, he captures his role as a Roeh Tzon, and the concept of Roeh Tzon, the Chidah speaks out in Tehillim on the Pasuk, when we say in Tehillim, Ureim v'naseim ad olam, Ureim is from a Lashon Re'iya, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are the Roeh, and you are also Nasim, you are also the Nasi. So the Chidah points out the difference between the Roeh and the Nasi is that the Nasi is the one who heads the people. He leads the march. He goes out and everyone follows him. And the Roeh is the person who lets the flock go out on their own, and he is in the background. He has that panoramic vision of what is happening to the entire flock, but he is not leading them. He waits to intervene at precise moments. And this, says the Chidah, is the difference between Ureim v'Nasim, the difference between a Roeh and a Nasi. Moshe Rabbeinu's Bakasha apparently was that the Am needed a Roeh at all times, namely, that Klal Yisrael needed a shepherd who had that breadth and who had that control, who was literally able to contain Klal Yisrael, every Yochid in Klal Yisrael, the Medrash and Shmos Rabbah. At the beginning of Shmos Rabbah says that this is why Moshe Rabbeinu was Tofes, the Umnos of the Avos, that the Avos, each of them, was a shepherd, and Moshe Rabbeinu had, we would call it, L'Havdil, an internship. He had an internship being a shepherd in the Midbar, so he should develop not only the ability to attend to the needs of the Ummah as a whole, but also to learn to be attentive to each individual, every Yochid in Klal Yisrael. And this was the Tafkid of the Roeh, who follows from the back. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu that this role is going to change in Klal Yisrael. The Medrash says that Hagam that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to have in this small emerging nation, he was able to have this role, to serve this function of not only being the supreme leader, but also the perfect follower, that he was able to attend to each individual, the needs of those who stray, the needs of those who stumble. And this was an unparalleled role that Moshe Rabbeinu alone held. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him that this is not Shayach L'Doros. That L'Doros, the function of the interaction between a shepherd and each member of the flock is something that doesn't get repeated post-Moshe Rabbeinu, but rather the function, the interaction between the Yochid and the manhig is going to change, namely, that mikan lahaba, after Moshe Rabbeinu, it is not within the scope of the manhig to have an interaction with each individual, but rather it is the responsibility of each member of the nation to foster and forge an individual connection with the manhig. And this is what's happened in Klal Yisrael, that our obligation, particularly in Galus, particularly living in the Zmanim in which we are at this stage, that our individual obligation is to seek out a roeh, that each of us in our tsugang, in our orientation, our mahalach, with our leaders, with our Rosh Hashivas, with our Dayanim, with our Rabbanim, it is our obligation to form that connection, that we have to pursue them. The times have passed when the Manhigim, the Roa, are able to pursue us. It's very interesting that only other one time in Tanakh does the expression Katzon Asher Ein Lahem Roa, only one other time does it appear. It appears in Malachim Aleph, and in Kapitel Chaf Aleph, and in the reign of Tzidkio, we have a host of Nevi'ei Sheker, each of whom is counseling the king about how to wage Mohamma with the Oyev, and there's one Navi Emes, and the one Navi Emes is Michio ben Yimla, and his counsel to the king that he not go out to war, and that he not listen to the Nevi'ei Sheker, and instead that he embrace the Masorah, and he find his Eitzes from the Torah, and not from people who misrepresent Torah. His Eitzah to the king is using the same Lashon of Moshe Rabbeinu, namely, that he says to him, that what I see is that all of Klal Yisrael are going to be scattered on the mountains, and they're going to be Katzon Asher Ein Lahem Roeh. So the Midrashim say over there that the concept of Katzon Asher Ein Lahem Roeh means exactly the same thing. Namely, it's the obligation, it's the responsibility of the individual to make sure that he seeks a manhig who listens to Das Torah. He seeks a man who is in fact a mouthpiece for Ratzon Hashem. No longer will there be a Roeh Tzon who is able to connect with each individual, but rather it becomes the responsibility of the individual to connect with the Mani. In closing, now that we've gone through a chiddush about Yehoshua in this medrash brought by Rav Poalim, and now that we've taken a look at Bakashas Moshe Rabbeinu for a Roeh, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kavayochel downplaying that, it's very interesting that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu spells out the change in the status of the Roeh, and he speaks about how Yehoshua is going to be the Mamale Makom, and after him, every manhig of Klal Yisrael is going to be more Bebechinas Yehoshua, rather than Bechinas Moshe Rabbeinu. So Kadosh Baruch Hu spells out the sequence that if there'll be any suffix that the Roeh has, if there'll be any suffix that the leader has, that he will approach Elazar, the Kohen Gadol, and he will be Shoel Urim Betumin. And all of the Shilos, all of the questions for Hanhagas, and for daily involvements, and for the activities of the Ummah as a whole, if the Melech, if the Manhig is going to be in doubt, if there's ambiguity, these difficulties are going to be clarified by a approach to Kohen Gadol, who in turn is Shoel the Urim Vetumim, and in turn he will get a response from Milmala. So the Pasuk says that, and this is echoing the request of Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that v'shal lo b'mishpat ha'urim lifnei Hashem al piv yetzu v'al piv yavo. So now the shaila the Mefarshim argue about is, what is the focus of the word al piv yetzu v'al piv yavo? So there's three dayas in the Rishonim. So one day, and this is brought by Rashi, by Ramban, that Alpiv refers to Elazar the Kohen Gadol. Namely, that every time the king, the Manig, is going to be in doubt, he approaches the Kohen Gadol approaches Urim Betumim. Urim Betumim is a conduit, so to speak, for a response, Min HaShemayim, and therefore everything that is a doubt will be Alpiv, will be coming through the words of the Kohen Gadol. That's one shita. Another shita in Rishonim is that Alpiv means HaKadosh Baruch Hu alone. That the Alpiv means that the shilas, the problems, that the mani is left with. He approaches the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol approaches Urim V'Tumim. The response comes min ha-shamayim. The Alpiv means HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By the way, those Mepharshim who say that the Alpiv is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they say, some of the Rishonim, that the reason that there is absent a response about Roed Tzom in response to Moshe Rabbeinu's request is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is the Roed Tzom. That the function of Roed Tzom is no longer going to be invested in a human being, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyochel is the Roed Tzom. And that's also Merumas in Hashem Roi Lo Echsar. We have such a pasuk in Tehillim. So the second approach is that Alpiv Yetzuvi, Alpiv Yavo is a reference to Shemayim, that we will be listening to the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyochel alone. However, it's interesting, the Rabbag, who we mentioned earlier, the Rabbag says in his Pirish that Alpiv Yetzuvi, Alpiv Yavo, that the Piv that we're speaking about is the Manhig, namely, that Klai Yisrael, rather than seeing that the leader has diminished powers, chas v'sholem, that he is in suffix, and he has to come to Kohen Gadol, and the Kohen Gadol has to be mavakish min ha-shamayim for response, rather than being chas v'sholem, a chasorin of the manhig, this is a mila of the manhig. The fact that Klai Yisrael sees that the manhig is shoel etza, and that his response, what he tells the Am, what he tells the nation, is Ratzon Hashem. The fact that he knows that the source to go to when there is doubt is to be Shoel Eitzah Min HaShemayim. So this is a vindication of the Manhig. This is a Hizchaskus. This is an empowerment of the Manhig in the eyes of the nation. So when the Pasuk says, Alpiv Yetzuvi, Alpiv Yavo Hagam, that the Manhig is going to be quoting what the Kohen Gadol told him was the Eitzah Alpi Urim V'Tumim, but that statement, that declaration of the Manhig saying, this is Ratzon Hashem, this is not a diminution of his status, but rather this is an elevation of his status, because Klal Yisrael admires, respects, and looks up to the fact that our manhigim, our leaders, are not only using Seichel HaYashar and Das Torah, but that their Das Torah and the Seichel HaYashar is coming straight mipi HaGevura Kaviyachal. So again, we have a chiddush in trying to understand the Medrash that says Yehoshua's father lived in Yerushalayim, where he was decapitated, which is different than the Bavli. We have an interesting mahalach through Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, through the Yalkut, that this was Nun, who was the leader of Bnei Ephraim, who were Hapchu B'Yom Karav. And we have an understanding, I hope, that Moshe Rabbeinu's request for a roheg was overlooked, or was overruled, kaviyachol by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because since the times of Yehoshua onward, it is the responsibility of each yachid to form and strengthen a bond with his manhig, with his rav, with his rebbe, with his leader, and that we look at the Das Torah, the words of our leaders, as being guided min ha-shamayim. Good Shabbos, and thank you.